Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're very happy to be with you here on this offering that we call the presentation where truth is our bitch.
Yeah, it's the truth is our bitch.
A news, talk, and entertainment show.
Well, we don't use that anymore.
Oh.
We don't use that anymore. It's just too much. It's just truth is our bitch, and we launch from all points, north, south, east, and west, from that vantage point, truth being our bitch. Now, to get out of the way what I was just talking with my close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, about, if I had hair on top of my head...
You'd wear a mohawk.
I'd wear a mohawk, yes.
Why?
I just would wear a mohawk. I mean, if I had it to do over again, all the years that I had hair, and you know, that was the first 30 years of my life, let's say, I had it long. I had it in the style of the day, which was in the 70s. It was long. Lots of beards, lots of mustaches, lots of mutton chop sideburns. I had all that stuff, and I had the pretty long hair. But if I was taken back to those times, I think I would have shaved it right into a mohawk.
And you would have looked like Robert, I should say Bobby De Niro, because those of us that have, I don't want to sound as if I'm being too snooty, but because I do know him, so you'd look like Bobby De Niro.
Okay, let's get back to, because you know...
No, Phil, just move off of that, please.
No. You took the time to Bobby De Niro.
Yeah, you think you're all knowing everybody.
Well, I do. Unlike you, bud, you don't know anyone. You don't know anyone other than the occasional night watchman of the place that you're breaking into on any given night.
I don't break into nothing.
Hold on for a minute. Bobby De Niro, huh?
Yeah, I've heard that, Bobby De Niro. What's that about?
I just got done telling you. Don't make an issue out of it, Phil. Bobby De Niro, you know, wore that, and I think Bobby wore that in The Deer Driver, or...
Yeah, you talk about the taxi hunter.
Taxi Driver? Are you people serious?
What are you... Who's you people? That is very racist.
You're white.
I feel black, though, when you say that.
No, Ms. Gray, that's about black people.
Now, hold on for a minute. When you look at me and you say you people, I feel darker. I feel darker, and I feel indicted... I feel as if I'm a member of the indicted group. I'd like you to take that back, please.
What?
I'd like you to take that back, or I'm getting my husband on the phone.
Oh, take it easy. I'm not taking anything back. When I said you people, it had nothing to do with race. I just said you people there in the media, you people who are rich, you people, Bobby De Niro.
Bobby De Niro wore a mohawk in The Deer Driver, or whatever the GD movie is called.
It's called The Deer Hunter.
All right, The Deer Hunter, then.
The Deer Driver?
Yeah, I'm going without The Deer Driver.
Well, what's The Deer Driver?
There is no Deer Driver. The movie he was in was The Deer Hunter. He was in Taxi Driver. He was in Deer Driver, and he was in Taxi Hunter. He was in Hunter. No, that was Fred Dreyer.
That was Bobby De Dreyer.
Bobby De Dreyer, you... Why, you drooling idiot.
Hey, watch it.
I'll kill it.
Yeah, you can't reach over that far.
Margaret, you can't have a violent reaction to him every time. Otherwise, I'm going to have to...
You're going to have to what?
Well, nothing. I mean, I don't want to... If you ever do hit him and it becomes an issue, we're going to have somebody arrested or sued, okay? Quit lashing out at each other, if you don't mind.
He's not the one doing it to me.
Because I've got to listen to you say Deer Driver? You better believe it.
You're the one that said Deer Driver.
I took my cue from that.
Well...
All right. In the future, if you don't have it right... Then don't necessarily copy what the other... Deer Driver, this has got to be the only radio show in the world, that's going to screw up the name of that movie. That happens to be, by the way, one of my favorite movies.
Which one?
Taxi Hunter.
Which one? Yeah, there you go. Which one is it, Phil? Come on.
Wait.
Taxi Hunter.
No, Deer Hunter. Deer Hunter. I love that movie. It's a movie of such bittersweet resonance. It makes me cry. It makes me laugh. It's an amazing movie. I love the film. It does have a decidedly sort of very extremely depressing take on that period of time, which was the Vietnam War. But nonetheless, it was for a great many people depressing. It was a depressing war. So nonetheless, I've made that statement, and I'm sticking to it. All right, welcome to the program, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And if you join us for our pre-show, you can join us for the audio portion of our pre-show now, We do a 45-minute uncensored pre-show on Phil TV, but you can also listen to the audio for free. You don't have to have a backstage pass. Temporarily, for the next few shows, we're going to be rolling the audio portion of our pre-show on philhenryradio.com, philhenryradio.com. It's available only on your desktop. We are hoping in very, very short order to make Phil Henry Radio mobile, and so it'll be just like flipping a radio on. You know, you got your smartphone or whatever, and you're out and about, and bang, throw that sucker up onto philhenryradio.com, and we will have a variety of programming available. That's got nothing whatsoever to do, by the way, with what our plans will be following the 24th of June. That is the last show we do for Talk Radio Network. We have, we've got all kinds of options we're exploring, including absolutely remaining terrestrial. The reality of terrestrial radio these days, though, folks, is that it is more of a promotional arm than it is the actual dog that is wagging the tail. The tail that's wagging the dog these days is digital and these various online entities such as podcasting. So we don't want to eliminate any option we have. We are very definitely looking at terrestrial opportunities, our digital opportunity, and there's a lot of other stuff that we're doing that that I think I kind of...
Well, what is the animation project again?
Yeah, we've got an animation project that we are shopping, myself and my partner Angela Frame, who is a great, great gal and does a lot of work. In fact, she's doing most of the work. In fact, she's an artist, and she's done a lot of the mock-ups, and all I do is just sit there and go, and another thing, blah, 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 and then that's it.
Yeah, in fact, the guy from Scott Trade.
Oh, I met that guy. That guy's a riot, man.
Who's that?
The guy from the Scott Trade commercials. Have you ever seen the guy? He's in the limousine, and he goes, what about all the fun we've had? The fun. You know, he plays a real smarmy guy.
Oh, those are the guys at the they're having drinks, and he says, uh-oh, the office is calling?
Yes, yeah. He's supposed to be playing your typical trader that you've been dealing with, who really doesn't do any work. He's taking advantage of you. He's taking advantage of your friendship and your good nature, and he's just sitting on his ass doing nothing. And now comes the Scott Trade guy, and the customer you thought you had, well, now that guy's dealing with Scott Trade. And this dude that I met, Brian, I think is his name, and I don't know his last name, I was excited to meet this guy. I mean, it's not often that I get excited about a TV commercial. But every now and again, a TV commercial comes on. I go, God, that's funny. I mean, that's making me laugh, and I want to see it again. And this Scott Trade commercial was that. And here's this dude standing there at Starburn, which is a studio over in Burbank. And I said, I got to tell you don't know who I introduced myself. I just want you to know I'm a big fan, and I don't know your name. He said, oh, I'm Brian. I said, I love you in that commercial, and I look forward to it, and I laughed my ass off. And I don't know what else to tell you other than, I love you.
You didn't tell him you love him.
No, I didn't. But he's a very nice guy, and for me, that's an exciting moment.
So of all the people you could meet, the guy that does the Scott... Oh, God.
Yeah, Margaret,
Well, I suppose it did his ego some good, but there are so many other...
Well, something is great. Some people just... Not everybody going to introduce a movie star.
I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't hear you. You're, well...
His what?
His lips are a little...
You said my lips are too thick?
No, they're dry.
So I'm not the only racist out here.
Hey, you gotta watch the way you say that.
Margaret, that borders on racism.
I said they were dry. Dry. Take a sip of water, dear.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dry. All right, we're gonna be back here. A couple of stories that have jumped right out of the headlines and have grabbed us around the throat and have constricted our ability to breathe, and we better either report on them or they're going to kill us. Suddenly I'm reporting on the news as if it's something living inside the wall, but a lot of it is. This is a story about Megyn Kelly and Greta Van Susteren telling Lou Dobbs, and I guess it's the other guy, what's the cat, Neil Cavuto, telling both of those guys to pound it up left sideways until they get blood for some comments that they made. There's also a suspension of capital punishment in the state of California, which is a real shame, because I was hoping that they were going to make the announcement on televising those things. And of course, I'm kidding.
It wasn't very funny either.
No, it wasn't. And a woman has sued after allegedly contracting herpes from a Rihanna-endorsed lipstick. What does Rihanna endorsing the lipstick have to do with a woman's herpes or alleged herpes? Nothing at all, but it's the eye grabber in the headline that gets you to read the story. And once you read the story, you'll realize that it's real different. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're very happy to be with you here on this Friday night slash Saturday morning. And we do have on the line with us, R.C. Collins is going to join us from where is he at?
Bradley Military.
Oh, Bradley Military Academy. I keep thinking of Belmar. Bradley Military Academy in Alhambra, California. We're going to be talking about what appears to some people to be a, and I'm not kidding you folks, and I have the picture up on Phil TV right now. Look at that red circle, and for those of you who don't have Phil TV, what I'm showing is a picture inside of a red circle is a Mars rodent. A Mars rodent. R.C. Collins is a Bradley Military Academy cadet. R.C., how you doing?
I'm doing real good, Mr. Henry, and I can tell a little bit of the skepticism that you will have on this, you know.
Well, I do not only have a little bit of skepticism, I have a whole lot of skepticism. And you can well imagine why. How is it that a rodent can live on a planet that has no oxygen?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I think that's probably the most easily answered of the things that people would ask. And that's on account of the rodent that, and it appears to be a rodent. It could be any kind of a life form that you might imagine. But the rodent type of shape that we're looking at in this photograph could very well be some kind of a life form, carbon-based, that does not breathe oxygen so much as it may breathe one of the other primary gases that are on the planet of Mars. My friend, one of my classmates and a cadet here at Bradley, Cadet Watson, was looking at this photograph, and Watson had made the remark that it could be some form of a super rodent, or I know it sounds a little silly, but a larger rodent, a rodent of magnificence, you know. And here is
a rodent of what?
Well, here's Watson. What'd you call it, Watson?
I call it like a magnificent rodent.
A magnificent rodent.
What does that mean? A magnificent rodent?
Mr. Henry, it's an old term, used classical French term. Then they talk about the largest or a large size animal, and the magnificence of it is what they're talking about.
He's a little bit nervous.
That's okay.
And I use just the classical French description of it.
Why do you guys think this is a real rodent?
You can look at it. There's an old saying: if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it crawls through the weeds. Well, not that.
Well, that'd make it half snake and half duck.
What?
That'd make it half. What he's saying, Mr. Henry, is if it crawls through the weeds and it has webbed feet. Well, no.
No, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Yeah, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's gonna be duck. And if you look at this rodent.
I'm looking at this picture, and it does not look like anything other than a couple of rocks that could, yes, very well be taken as a rodent or some maybe furry creature. But, you really got to stretch it to think that.
I don't think so. If you look very carefully, and we have blown this up to about 20 times the normal size of what a Mars rodent would be, I don't even know what a Mars rodent would be. Do you, Watson?
If we're talking about a magnificent Mars rodent, it would be at least 2-3 times larger.
Why would it be 3 times larger? Isn't the gravity on Mars, I guess gravity on Mars is not as much as Earth, huh?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I'm thinking that things grow bigger on planets where there is less gravity.
That makes sense, yeah.
We didn't think about that, but it does make sense.
You look at a Mars rodent. What I call the roving rodent, it looks like it could be good size and could be very formidable for any Mars crew that lands there.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Well, all I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is once we land a manned mission and you have the rover rodent comes up on you, and of course you have to be careful, because if you land within this rock range, you're looking at some lava rock right there, Mr. Henry, that looks very formidable. You could get a roving rodent.
You guys have already named this thing?
Well, I mean, Watson did. We were using the term magnificence, but roving rodent seemed to make more sense to a lot of the students here.
Is that because of the Mars rover?
Yeah, I understand that, but roving rodent doesn't do a thing for me.
Well, I mean, you know, it does for the students.
But it's...
So you know, by... I don't want to say it, but you lose, you know.
You lose that vote, Mr. Henry, that the students at Bradley, but I know what you mean.
Okay, fine. So roving rodent, and this rodent is able to hide behind the lava rock. Is that it?
Well, the lava rock and this range of rock that you're looking at, the picture that we have, you can see there's black rabbit rock behind it. The reason why I call it rabbit rock is because it's lava rock, but I mispronounced it once as rabbit. And then I looked at one of the rocks. It looks like there might be a giant black rabbit that lives there, too. So you've got this rover rodent and a black rabbit rock. And
I mean, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We don't want to confuse Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Guys, you know, you're beginning to sound like maybe you came up with this when you were having maybe a few beers.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because when you're talking about black rabbit rock...
I didn't say that. I said it was black lava rock, and we just nicknamed it the black rabbit rock.
Yeah, because one of the rocks looks like a rabbit, but it ain't a real rabbit. Gee.
Okay, well, all right. I didn't know. I mean, you're talking about a rodent.
Yeah, we're talking about the rover rodent.
Well, Mr. Henry, if you know Rover, Rover, Let Billy Come Over, do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's what we're talking about.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Let me... hello, boys. This is Margaret Gray.
Hi, Miss Gray.
Yes. What are you trying to say? Are we supposed to launch a mission to go get this rodent? Are we going to listen to the two of you knuckleheads?
Well, Miss Gray, all I'm trying to say is Rover... You know, let Billy Come Over was the original. And then we say there's a rover rodent. Why not let it come over, too?
That's all we're trying to say.
Well, the only way that the rodent's going to come over if...
We got to send a mission up there to get it?
No, that would be a waste of money. What we are asking, for a limited time only, give credulity to the idea that there may be one there.
Look, we had the face on Mars. I'll never forget the longest time every checkout stand had the tabloid with the face on Mars. This went on for years, years and years and years, until finally we had the proper satellite photographic technology to snap pictures of this thing. It was not a face on Mars. It didn't even resemble anything close to a face when they finally did get close enough to look at it. It was a regular rock formation or a mountain formation that happened to look like a face. But, you know, we are so... this society, we are so ready to introject or project onto things these mysteries. It just blows me away. And
if you look at that right there, you tell me that doesn't look like Rover Rodent?
Who's Rover Rodent?
I'm sorry, but I didn't mean that.
That's the name that we wanted to give it, but...
Well, that's fine. Who's Rover Rodent?
No, it's not. Does it look like a rodent?
No, it does not.
It doesn't look like a rodent. You're prepared to affix your name to that.
What?
Are you prepared to make a statement that that don't look like a rodent?
I just made the statement. It doesn't look like a rodent. No.
And you're prepared to go and you'd swear?
No, I'm not going to swear on anything. I'm not going to sign anything. I'm telling you that it doesn't look like a rodent. Now, you guys can go out there into internet land and say all you want. You're not going to get anybody to believe it. I believe, this is my own personal belief, I think that a lot of these things take off because we have the ability to communicate all kinds of information to people. We have the ability to communicate all kinds of news, all kinds of rumor, all kinds of fact. And that's what we do in this society. So, you know, a lot of truth comes out and a lot of horse dung gets thrown around as well. And in that pipeline that feeds information by way of the internet, everything is treated equally. Everything is treated equally. So news of a coup in Africa or perhaps a spike in oil prices, that is treated equally, or at least it is given equal play with some jackass who thinks he sees a rodent on the surface of Mars. And that's what gives this stuff credibility that it shouldn't have. Okay, guys?
Yeah, okay, Mr.
You just kind of blew us right out of Do we get our last word?
No, he's not going to give us the last word. I mean, all you did was just, you know, just shut us down. Well, I would like to say I think you're wrong, and you'll be proved it wrong.
Okay, thank you very much. That's R.C. Collins with Cadet Watson from Bradley Military Academy on the so-called Rover Rodent. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Without a backstage pass to philhenryshow.com, you're just letting the best of life pass you by because we have 5,000 hours of archived radio shows there going back over 15 years. Some of the greatest radio in the history of the planet Earth, if I do say so myself. And it's there for yours, for your perusal and your downloading as well at philhenryshow.com. Yes, you may download that and you may listen to it to your heart's content. And it's there at our website, as well as our videocast archive, as well as our webisodes of a variety of different bits that we've animated, as well as the Milwaukee Lion archives and podcasts of the famed Dickman America Milwaukee Lion football team.
God, Dickman America.
That's the name of the league now, man. They changed it from the Hillbilly Jackass League, whatever it was. And a new season is upon us, man.
Oh, my God. Is that Jack Eigagder?
Yes, Jack is going to be back along with Brett Morrison for the 2013 campaign. The very first season last year, the L.A. Tan won the Dickman Bowl 13-9 over the Utah Flaming Cavalry. So,
are you nuts?
I ain't nuts. So this Mars rock that bears a passing resemblance to a rodent is causing this internet this ridiculous internet sensation. And I think it's probably just fueled by a variety of jackballs, you know, who like to keep that kind of stuff fueled. All right. Now, the other story that I think is far more interesting than a Martian rodent, way more interesting, in my opinion, is the fact that some woman is claiming she got herpes from a Rihanna-endorsed lipstick. Now, before we start, you know...
Can I see that film, sir?
Yes, just don't grab it out of my hand.
I know, but I want to see it, and you're all due.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're all waving around.
Well, I'm waving it around. That's my business to wave it around.
Go give it to her.
Let me see it.
Yeah, there.
Okay, let me see the Rihanna fan thoughts. Garbage. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Oh, would you hold on, please? I'm still reading it, Phil.
Fine.
Blah, 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 blah.
What about that part there?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. No, there's nothing there.
Well, I'm going to read it anyway.
There's nothing there.
I'm going to read it anyway. Why don't you want me to read this?
Because I might have used that.
Uh-oh, are you trying to tell me you're going to get a herpes sore in your mouth?
Would you ask him to shut up?
Where did you use this lipstick?
I might have been in that store. God help me if I put my lips on the same lipstick that some woman...
Take it easy, Margaret. A Rihanna fan files a lawsuit against MAC Cosmetics, the company producing Riri Woo lipstick. Starkima Greenridge claims she got herpes after sampling the lipstick at a MAC pop-up store when attending the singer's concert at the Barclays Center in New York City on May the 7th. Were you there?
Yes, I was.
And you were at the Barclays Center, huh?
Yes, I told you. I was back there for Dicklin Syndicate, and I think because I saw a woman, she had to be named Starkima because...
Why? Okay, now this is going to be racist.
No, it's not racist, but Robert, I ask you. She was big and black.
Hey,
I take it easy.
Well, and she had the purple nails and the big long...
And you assumed that was the lady named Starkima who had just used this lipstick. She's claiming she got herpes from the lipstick.
Well, if I come down with herpes, if I wake up one morning feeling very faint... And feeling like I just don't have a skip in my step, and feeling like I don't want any breakfast, and I want to go back to bed, and I don't know what it is, and I wake up to go to the toilet, and I look in the mirror, and there is something that looks like a moon crater on my lip. God help Rihanna.
And all of this, in your mind, is the result...
You went to the concert. Ain't you listening too good?
Yeah, don't you listen too good?
Yeah, I listen real good, man. I just didn't know that she got around that much.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
You got around, Ms. Gray?
Excuse me.
I didn't mean... What? I'm not talking about you, your morals. I'm just saying I didn't know you got back to New York, went to this concert, and came back here.
Well, I did. I kept it under wraps because I was doing a report for... It's none of your business.
All right, it's none of my business. But the fact is, you walked up and you used this lipstick. Now, let me ask you something. If you saw this lady...
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you saw the lady and she had a big butt and everything like you say...
Did I say big butt?
Well, you intimated that.
You used a lipstick. Why'd you use a lipstick?
Because it looked interesting, because I didn't want to look like I was a stuffed shirt, because there were a lot of kids around trying this stuff out. So I took it, I looked at it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be egalitarian, and I won't do with this lipstick what I ordinarily would do, which would be to hand it back to the individual and say, would you give me a clean one, please? Because I was afraid of offending them.
And now you're on the air and you're talking about how you're afraid you might have herpes too. Have you gone to the doctor?
And have him do what?
Can't they give you a blood test?
No, it's a virus. Then a virus you can't do for, well...
Well, Bud's right. It's a virus. But if I wake up one morning feeling... Well, how would you know?
Yeah, how do you know, Mr. Henry?
I gotta be honest with you. I think I have herpes.
Oh, my God. And you're letting every woman out there that's ever...
No, wait. Hold on for just a sec. First of all, when I was in my 20s, I either I had it or there was something going on, man. Because, and I know, frankly, who gave it to me. And I loved her anyway.
Oh, God, Phil. I hope she's not listening to this.
Take it easy. But because it's a virus, it is dormant, and then it, you know, sort of reappears. And not since my, I'd say not since the 80s, not since the 80s have I seen any trace of this.
But you can't have no herpes having not just come, not like being, you know, like a dormouse.
Yeah, what about a dormouse?
What do you mean a dormouse?
What's that?
You know, if you have, if you get herpes, okay, and you're, and...
Talking about dormant?
What's that?
Dormant, where it's just sitting in the system and it has not become symptomatic. Symptomatic.
Yes, symptomatic. Do you know that?
No, but talk about a dormouse.
It ain't a dormouse. Dormat. Dormant. Dormant. That's what a herpes virus does. It becomes dormant. It just sits there. It doesn't do anything. It's kind of like a lot of these viruses, you know, like, what the hell else is there?
Well, what about the virus that causes... the virus that causes just the big oozing soeli.
I don't want to know about that one, okay? But I either I got it or I got something that's like it, or I never had a doctor check it out.
Well, what are you doing, Phil? You're playing Russian roulette. I'm sorry, I'll say it. You're playing Russian roulette with the genitalia of the women that you're sleeping with.
Will you shut up, Margaret?
Well, you are.
Playing Russian roulette with the genitalia.
Well, what are you doing? Don't you gonna go in and get a shot?
I've been to the doctor for it, and I've mentioned it to my doctor, and he said, well, you know, big deal. I could care less. You know, it's you against the world, Phil. No, he didn't say that. He just said, you know, come on in if you see the symptoms of it. And I said, I haven't in a long time. And he said, well, then, you know, kiss it goodbye, man.
Maybe it went away.
I don't think it goes away, does it, Bud?
I don't believe it do.
Well, you asking Bud about this.
Sounds like Bud knows all about it. He's got, it's all, you know...
No, just that the virus is not going to be, you know, the virus is not going to be.
The virus is not going to be what?
It's not going to be,
It's not going to be contagious?
No, it's contagious, but it's not no thing you get from a toilet seat.
I don't know. You're the guy that's all, yeah, he's really clued in, Robert. Thank you very much.
Well, it sounded like you was.
Well, can you get it from a toilet seat?
I don't know. You can't get it from a... I don't know. Maybe.
No, Phil, we went through this as a culture and as a country. Do you know the people that have suffered because you think you can get... Oh, that was AIDS. I'm talking...
Not AIDS. We're talking about this thing called herpes. Okay, so in any event, this lady is suing. And here is what it is. The Rihanna fan files a lawsuit against MAC Cosmetics. She's a 28-year-old waitress. She said an employee applied the lipstick to her upper lip.
Oh, God, that's the worst lip to have a big oozing sore on. God! God, why?
Hold on. The 28-year-old waitress said an employee applied the lipstick to her upper lip, and she was asked to press her lips together so that it could really spread the infection, or I mean it could spread the lipstick around. 2 days later, after applying this fantastically gorgeous lipstick, she looked at her lips, and they both looked as if they'd been stuck in a garbage disposal. No, she developed a cold sore on her lip as the result of contracting a version of herpes simplex virus, HSV-1. According to the lawsuit, MAC Cosmetics didn't use a fresh or new lipstick tube, but rather one that had been used for other patrons, adding that the company should have trained their employees to use disposable tubes and should have known it was unsanitary and exposing patrons to possible spread of disease. That's the truth. In the lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court, the plaintiff is seeking unspecified damages, claiming she suffered from mental anguish and emotional distress.
Dude, I don't get that about a mental anguish.
Well, they got to use the term mental anguish because basically what it means is worry and concern. If you get herpes and you have to deal with it because you're going to a job, because you're going out on a date, you're having to deal with it cosmetically, you're having to deal with the fact that it is contagious, you could give it to a boyfriend. All of a sudden, there is this level, this layer of anxiety that's been heaped on your life that you don't need. You didn't ask for it. You didn't say, hey, man, give me herpes. You know, you were trying on some lipstick, and now all of a sudden they've added this hassle into your life because these jackasses were not being very sanitary.
Well, you can't say that in a courtroom, can you?
Now, I would if I was the lawyer. So she is seeking unspecified damages, claiming mental anguish, emotional distress after contracting the incurable disease. I wasn't able to work for 2 weeks. It cost me a lot of money. I don't know why she couldn't work for 2 weeks. Well, she's a waitress. Oh, that's why you can't work for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Are you going to be... So, in other words, you want to see a waitress walk up to your table?
Oh, no, never mind.
Oh, God, you're kidding.
Yeah, you want to see a waitress walk up to your table...
Shut up, Phil.
No. Walk up to your table with two just big sores. Ooh.
Shut up!
That would be bad. All right, speaking of being back, not bad, we'll be back. Maine Zumba prostitute Alexis Wright sentenced to jail time. A 30-year-old woman convicted of running a prostitution business out of her Zumba fitness studio in Kennebunk, Maine. Ain't that around where the Bushes used to live?
Kennebunkport.
Close by. We'll talk about this and look into it, and we'll do other things. You know, we'll stick a tube right up its you-know-what. When we come back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Shut up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
May I take your order, sir?
Oh, shut up, Phil.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So I was telling a story to my studio mates here, to our panel here this evening, Margaret, Robert, and Bud. And I was telling them about a trip that I took back to Chicago 1 year with my girlfriend at the time. I was helping her move. I think some of you guys might have heard this story. Who's on the phone?
David Hall. Just want to...
Yeah, David, what's up?
I want to see if we're going to do that Lindsay Lohan story because I was telling Tabitha about it.
Wait, her name is what? Tabitha? I thought her name was Daphne.
Her name's Tabitha tonight. So let's not get into that, Phil. It's really none of your business. She's my girlfriend.
All I want to know is, because we've had people ask, is it the same woman?
Yes, it's the same woman.
So one night she's Tabitha.
One night she's Tabitha, and the next night she's Daphne, yeah. I was going to ask you, had you gotten into the Dina Lohan story, that's all.
I haven't gotten into that yet. I'm about to tell a story about the tornado.
Is this the one with the girlfriend?
I'm sorry?
Is this story the one with the girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Tabitha's asking me why you're doing that.
Who?
I just told you, Tabitha, my girl. Wait, hold on for a minute. What, baby? Tabitha wants to know why you're doing that story.
Oh, she does, huh? Well, that's what I'm doing on my show.
She says you're beating that one into the ground. I got to agree, Phil. I've heard that story about 6 times.
Well, maybe you have, and maybe there's some people listening that haven't heard it at all. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I get it. He says that some people, you know, it's a kind of a... Tabitha was just...
You know what? Tell Tabitha to park it.
Wait a second. That's the woman I love.
All right, so,
Well, you're going to hear about that.
I don't care. Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care if I'm going to hear about that. Tabitha thinks that I shouldn't be telling the tornado story.
Well, she could very well be the future you know, if he dies and she inherits the company.
That doesn't, so? What's that got to do with anything? She inherits the company. I own part of the company. I own the whole company. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, what if Tabitha?
I don't give a damn about Tabitha. Is that him calling again?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Hall? Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I thank you not to talk about her behind her back because she's listening to you. And it's behind her back, you know? And
if she's listening to me, how is it behind her back?
Hold on. Hey, baby. She says it's because it is behind her back, even though she can hear it. Because she thinks you don't know she's listening.
No, that's not the case. I know she's listening.
He says he knows you're listening. I mean, yeah. She still says that you're beating that tornado story into the ground. Look, I didn't...
All right, thank you very much.
God, you're hanging up.
I don't care, bud. I don't want any more calls from him. Am I going to do the Dina Lohan story? Oh, by the way, don't do the Tabitha thinks I'm beating it into the ground, huh?
Is that the fiancé?
That's who he's been squiring around town for the last month. Tabitha, Daphne, I don't know what the hell her name is. She sounds like she's about 3 feet tall. Did you hear her?
Yeah, it does have kind of a squeak voice.
In any event, so we're driving back to Chicago one year, and I'm helping my girlfriend move. She lives in Portland, and we got the big Ryder rent-a-truck, and we're driving back to Chicago. Now, this is a girl that grew up in the Midwest. She was raised in Chicago primarily, but she also spent time in Kansas because her father was on the faculty at the University of Kansas for a time. So she was in Manhattan, Kansas. I guess I don't know much about it, but that's got to be tornado country, right?
Well, that's where the Wizard of Oz lived.
Well, it's not the Wizard of Oz lived there.
Well, no, not the Wizard of Oz, but the girl that was... Well, where did the Wizard of Oz live?
Lived in Oz.
I know he lived in Oz, but that's not a real place.
Right, but the wizard's not real.
Well, who was the man in the wagon? Frank Morgan, that's it.
That's the name of the actor.
In any event, Manhattan, Kansas is in Kansas, and that is where Dorothy and Toto and the rest of those bastards...
Mark, what are you getting upset about?
I need to use the toilet. Is there... I don't want toilet paper. Are there any Bounty towels?
You're talking about big...
Yes, big towels. That's what I want. The toilet paper you buy doesn't make it. Bud, that toilet paper ain't making it. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at what you just said. The toilet paper ain't making it.
Well, it's not.
Kansas is, yeah, it's heavyweight country for tornadoes. So anyway, we're driving along. We get into Iowa. We're fairly close to our goal of Chicago by, let's see, what were we doing? I was so tired, I said, I gotta pull over. I'll never forget. She says to me, my girlfriend says, I don't want to stay anywhere that's more than $25 a night. This was back in 1990 when you could still get a Motel 6 for around, you know, $25 a night, $24 a night, something like that. I don't know what they cost now, but I'm dead tired. I cannot drive anymore. I'm going to freaking fall out here, man, behind the wheel of this truck if we don't pull over. And I saw this motel in Walcott, Iowa, $26 a night. And I said, you know what? Tough. We're pulling in. She was dead asleep, so what difference does it make? And I pull in there, and I get the room, and we go around back, and we park the big rig because we had this big truck, and we were hauling our car, too. And now, you know, we settle in for a very nice, what was going to be a day of sleep, because I think it was, I'd been driving all night. So it's about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm laying asleep, and all of a sudden, I roll over, I wake up, and I see her standing at this window of the motel. She's in this nightshirt, and she's got a chair, you know? And I say, what are you doing? She goes, you get into the bathroom. In other words, it's like your girlfriend suddenly has turned into like the foreman at the factory or something, you know, and you're the chick, you know, get in there.
Yes, dear.
So I said, okay. I said, what's going on? She goes, she's the something about the air pressure. She goes, I think the air pressure is jacked up. You know, I think we're about to get, you know, to get the windows blown out of this place. Because apparently she'd been awake and she heard that there was a tornado, whatever the one is that tells you to look out for them, but there ain't a tornado yet.
That's like a tornado warning.
Well, what's a tornado watch?
Yeah, tornado watch is when they're just watching for it, but there ain't no warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that. I think it was a tornado watch. In other words, there wasn't any imminent danger, but you know, she allowed all of her Midwest training to kick in, and she's standing with this chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? She goes, I'm going to bust this window out if the air pressure gets too weird. Now get into the bathroom. She's telling me to get into the bathroom because it's the central part of this room, and it is surrounded, obviously, by other structures, so this was the safer place to be. To this day, I don't know if she must have known what she was doing, you know.
All right, I'm back from the toilet. I had to come back listening to this garbage you were...
Why is it garbage?
Well, first of all, she's standing there in front of a window wearing a nightshirt, correct?
Yeah.
Was it sunny out?
A little bit.
Then obviously you can see through the nightshirt. Did it ever occur to you that that's what she was attempting to do? To get you a little bit interested in her, rather than lay there like a lump of you-know...
She's going to try to get me interested in her while she's holding a chair.
She was... Was she nude under the... Well...
It's none of your business. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah, she might have been trying to get you interested in her nude.
Well, then why doesn't she just take her freaking nightshirt off and stand there nude? How about that?
You don't want to look like a slut.
Yes, she didn't want to look like a slut.
So instead, she stands there... You guys are freaking
Phil
nuts.
Phil Hendry.